every fiber of our being. Amen. And we do. We have to pour ourselves and get ourselves out of ourselves and get Him into us and let Him pour Himself in us. And it kind of goes along. You know, last week I ended with the Revelations 22:12, where we find that Jesus testifying to the churches. And Jesus spoke there and says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give you every one of you according to his work." The Amplified says, "Behold, I, Jesus, am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. And this reward is to give to each one according to the merit of his deeds." Literally, that of at his works. And that works is the earthly works, that faithfulness. And so it is. That's the faithfulness in us as we serve him. You know, it takes day in and day out, it takes faith. We come across some crazy things. We all have to deal with things in our lives that we wish we hadn't had to. Doesn't matter what it is, but to get through those times, it's going to be by faith, knowing that what Jesus shared, he is true, and that we will go through conflicts, but yet he will be with us. No matter what you're going through right now, he is with you. You might feel alone, but he is with you. So then that brought me over, talks about the final judgment is for the believer will occur when we stand before that of Christ to have his fidelity and service judged. How faithful your fidelity to that of Christ will be judged. And then the appropriate award or rewards given. And I don't really know what rewards I really want other than I just want all I can get. And that of the eyes of God. And to be able to receive those things. And hopefully that my actions here, your actions here upon this earth, are what is going to be looked at when we are there at that final place. So I talked about the five crowns that's mentioned in the Revelations. And that's where we want to look at today, look at the five. We're probably, I don't know what the depth would be, other than we're going to try to touch upon each one a little bit and find out where are we at in that, where are you at in that. First one is talks about the imperishable crown. The imperishable crown. It comes out of 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 25. And it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, or that you may win it. And everyone who competes for the prize is this, temperate in all things, that being exercising self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we are doing it for an imperishable crown." We find that winning a race requires purpose and discipline. We look at that, and Paul shares a lot in that of the games and the events that they did in the times of athletics, of running and doing things to win the crown. Now, their crown was usually that of some kind of cluster of flowers or foliage or something that they would wear. But it says here that winning a race requires purpose and discipline. Paul uses the example of a race to illustrate that of the Christian's life. The life of a follower of Jesus is hard to maintain. We'll give you that. I'm not going to stand before you and say it's a piece of cake. It's hard. You better study. You better exercise. You better work up whatever that faith muscle to believe that you're going to see these things through. And that you're not going to do it on your own, but God is going to be working through you. But you've got to maintain that faith and trust. Jesus is going to be hard to maintain. It requires self-denial and constant preparation. Kind of like what Denny just shared. You know, we got to take in more of Him. We got to fully serve Him. We got to dump everything in our life and things that we feel like self and get rid of self and go to totally with Him. It's a constant preparation. The race that we are in is not a race here upon this earth, but it's for that heavenly reward. For us to maintain and attain the reward, it's going to take discipline of prayer. I think we kind of, Denny brought a lot of it there. Study of His Word, and to maintain a life or to maintain a walk of worship. Day in and day out, we got to worship Him. Over and over I've said, even when you don't feel like it, you need to worship Him, you know. That's that faith. That's that sacrifice that we do. Oh, I don't feel like it, Lord. I got this. I've got that. I don't have time. I got hurts. I don't have time for this. Oh, but I've got to make time to worship Him. I've got to make time to pray. I've got to make time to be in His presence. If we put these areas actively working in our life here, they will help us give the stamina and the ability to run to the completion that we're a part of in this race. This race is not just running just a few laps around a field. No, this is an endurance. This is a marathon. This is cross country, okay? I don't know. It requires to run and not stop. Yesterday, we were heading over to one of our many birthday parties of our grandkids and came down Racine, or Delavan, made a left onto Beloit there, or coming in, you know, and passing Dawson Field, and there's cars parked there. And I go, wow, must be something going on at Dawson Field. Did you know what was going on yesterday in this town? A major cross-country event. So, like, one of the biggest events in, you know, the southern part of Wisconsin. They had, like, all the schools come together for a cross-country. And they went through the golf course. If you go by the golf course, they've got, like, the white lines. They painted throughout the course so they could stay in that. And anyway, quite amazing. But that's that race. You know, they were on a marathon. They were running through that, and then they were going to go through the bike path area and through the woods and different things. It was just crazy. I don't know how many people. So anyway, those people had an objective on their mind. That was to run the race, you know. And it was not just going to be like a sprint from here to there. It was like everywhere and around the countryside. But that's that race that we're on with that of God, is that we are on this long course. And we like they paint up those lines in the golf course so they kind of stay, you know, as maybe as wide as from the platform area to maybe the first part of the carpet and thereabouts in some areas. But they needed to stay between the lines. And as we are running this race with God, we need to stay between the lines. What are the lines? We need to stay between the scriptures. We got to keep the scriptures on both sides of our run so that when something comes up, we got a scripture to go to. That scripture keeps us in that area of that race so that we don't get lost and go out away from where we should be, the path of God. So God has got that path marked for us by that of His Word, by that of the Scriptures, by that of the Holy Spirit, leading us and guiding us to say, here's where you need to stay between here. But this is not just running just a few laps and say, okay, I'm done, I've done the good thing for God. No, this is a lifelong race. It requires to run and not stop. Now, you may not be able to run hard all the way, but you're going to still run. You're going to still walk fast. Do something, but you're going to keep going. We may even need to give up something good that we want in order to do what God is wanting us to do. Has anybody had to give up something to serve Him? Sometimes you have to give up your pleasures. Sometimes you have to give up some of your time. Sometimes you have to give up that hobby, whatever the case might be. We must have the goal before us to maintain a daily run for it. And that goal is, we should have that goal set before us. Run for that race. Run to that mark that He has, that we know the finish line is at in heaven. We want to keep going until He calls us home. We have that end of the race, but it's not here. It's when we go to glory. Amen! Before we must have the goal before us to maintain a daily run for it. You know, if you don't have a goal before you, you don't go. What's your goal? What do you want to accomplish today? What do you want to accomplish this week? If we, in our own natural, don't have anything as a goal, we'll just sit there and vegetate. I don't need to do anything, you know. maybe a date's okay to rest. It's a rest. I've done that too, okay? Every day I'm not going. There's days I sit and I go, I don't know, really? But we've got to have the goal before us to continue to maintain, because that goal before us will get you back out of that chair. It'll get you back out of that wherever you're at to say, I got to get back on the path and I've got to go. I got to accomplish this. So we have to keep that goal before us. And that goal before me is heaven. It's like I've got things to accomplish here until He calls me home. And I don't know how much I've got to accomplish before He calls me home. But I want to continue to do what I can do, how I can do it, under His ability, under His strength and perseverance. Because, you know, sometimes as man, we can get to the point to go, it just doesn't entertain me anymore. It's just not exciting anymore. You know, I talked about it, I think, maybe last week. How when we first came to Christ, we were exuberant. We were happy. Oh, we're... And then we got kind of lackluster after many years. It's like, well, it's just not going the way I thought. I'm not hearing much from him anymore. It just doesn't seem like it's what it was. The reason why it's not the way what it was is because you've not put anything into it. God has put everything into it. It's like that in a marriage. Your marriage gets lackluster and it's like ho-hum, ho-hum. It's because you have not put things into it to keep it active, to keep it vibrant, to keep it full of life. And so we end up with that of Christ too. When we don't stay actively serving, actively wanting, actively to please him, we become haphazard, lackluster, and go, oh, well, I'll serve him a day, but that's about it for the rest of the week. I don't have to do anything else. No, every day we're to serve him. And, you know, sitting at home and maybe sitting for a day, if you're praying to him, you're serving him. If you're sitting there meditating, you're serving. You're doing something for that of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we do have to find a time to where we sit. Sometimes we have to do a time where we don't just keep go, 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 go. We have to find that time of rest. And then even under our rest, we just want to say, oh, why did so-and-so pop on my thoughts? I don't know. I'll pray for him. Lord, I don't know why I'm thinking of so-and-so, but evidently they need something, or you want me to pray for them, and I'm just lifting it up to you. Well, praise God. Even though you're sitting there, you were still in that race. Maybe you weren't running. Maybe you were just walking. But you're doing something for that of God in the kingdom. Amen? We don't want to think we got to go, 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 because that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to go, go, go. So we find later on we wear ourselves out. The training for a long-distance runner is what? They know how to maintain their breathing. They know how to maintain their strength. They've got to, along the way, maybe stop and get water, or somebody throws them a water bottle. They got to keep hydrated. They got to maybe, you know, sprint. Then they got to maybe run full out, but then they kind of back off, and they just want to, the old tortoise and the hare, you know. So they know, and they've gone through training. I have come through, have any of you, during the days of when the schools are in session and track and field is in training, come along Ruger or come along Parker or certain streets, and who's out there? The track team. You know, they're running on the sidewalk. And I don't know how far they run, but, you know, when I see them, they're several blocks away from Craig or they're several blocks away from Parker. I've seen them going up south, Crosby, up the hill, going down to Rockport and around there. I mean, that's a long ways from Parker. And but they've got a path that they run that is doing what? That is building their endurance. They're not racing amongst themselves. They're not at a track meet, but they're at a time of training and building endurance. So their muscles and their legs and their breathing and everything is getting trained to be able to respond for that race that's coming up. We are having a race that's coming up. You might already be in that race. Maybe you've got a second and third race that's coming up on your time of serving God. I don't know. And that's where we rest and we train. We train and we rest, and then we go. And we got to go until the race is done. So anyway, we got to take those times out as well. As we deny things in life that may take our eyes off the prize, our focus will then be fixed on pleasing and serving God daily. And that's what it's all about. I want to look at a footnote to that. I've got it at the end of my notes, but it's in James 1:12, and it talks about, you know, the striving for that crown of imperishable crown, running that race, and we'll receive that prize. In James 1:12, the Amplified says, "Blessed or happy to be envied is the man who is patient under trials and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and has been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." God has promised us crowns out there. This is saying five. You can find some studies out there that might say seven. And there's, you know, multiple things that kind of gets into the sides of the trail that we're on with a crown of this, a crown of that. The Bible speaks of different types of crowns and many crowns. But this one area here was talking about the five crowns, that of Revelation, so that's why I'm kind of just sticking with that. But this first crown that you could get is striving is for that of the imperishable crown. You want to keep going. You don't want to give up. Well done, good and faithful. Second crown that we could look at would be that of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 regarding this rejoicing crown, it says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" 1 Thessalonians 2:19. It says, "For what is our hope and our joy, what is your hope? What is your joy? Our crown of joy, rejoicing. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." We look at the crown of rejoicing was actually a wreath that was woven from plants. And remember, that's what I was talking about. In Paul's day, he's not talking about they're getting a crown of metal. It's a wreath, or it's something of what, like you would see in the Grecian, Roman, you know, awards of the Olympics and things back in those days. But the crown of rejoicing was actually a wreath woven from plants. These crowns were used as prizes in athletic contest. Paul apparently wrote the Thessalonian letters from Corinth, but the notion of the crowns is the presence. The notion of the crowns in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming recalls the pomp and splendor of an official imperial visitor that provided the imagery Paul uses to speak of the return of Jesus. At such official visits, awards were made. Coming in reference is to the return of the Lord. And so we find that throughout this. It's the returning of the Lord. But we're going to hopefully have that crown of rejoicing. In Philippians 4:4, we find that same thought process. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say what? Rejoice. The crown of rejoicing. Here in the scripture, we find Paul, and he's writing this, as usual, in prison. He's telling the church to what? Rejoice. Paul is teaching them at the time, as well as for us today. What he is talking about then, it's for those people. But guess what? It's for us people too, today. Paul is teaching them at that time, as well as for us today, our inner attitude does not have to reflect our outward circumstance. The joy that Paul has is because he knew, no matter what was happening to him, that Jesus was with him. Today, no matter what is going on in your little sphere of influence, in your world, that no matter what it is that is there, that Jesus is there with you as well. Isn't that good to know? He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm not telling you something that you haven't dealt with. It's easy to become discouraged about unpleasant situations. The joy that we speak of comes from Jesus dwelling in us, no matter what we're dealing with. And that's the important thing. As we go through struggles and situations, if we can have a little bit of a hope in us, if we can have a little bit of joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That merry heart does good like medicine. The Bible speaks of, Jesus speaks of these things that it's important. Paul's speaking of these things, how important it is for you to have joy. And I think you need to look and say, do I really have joy of the Lord? Or is my life, or my days just humdrum? Is it so much that I'm fixated on the circumstance that I'm in, the circumstance that seems to be upon me? Or am I able to look past that to say, but my Lord is good. My God has not left me. That, Lord, I'm going to rejoice, that I'm going to have joy, that I'm going to speak worshiping verses, or just, I love you, Lord, even when you're crying in pain. I love you, Lord. Amen. Because you don't feel good. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you feel like doing that? No. Why are you doing it? Because I want to continue to rejoice and let him know that I love him even though I'm suffering. You know? And it's hard. But, you know, that's where you've got to pick yourself up. No one else can do it. It's only you, yourself, and I. Me, myself, and I that can take care and get Tim out of the doldrums. How many here, can you get me out of my doldrums? Probably not. You may get me out for just while you're there talking to me, but after you leave, I'll go right back to where I was at. So I've got to take and be convicted to that point of, I have got to say, Tim, focus on the positive. Tim, look at what Jesus has already done for you in the past. And I've said this, no matter what, as I go through things, just having salvation through that of Jesus' blood on the cross, and knowing that when I do go home to heaven, I'm going home to glory, that it's only because I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Why can you not rejoice at even that, to know that? That's what we want to keep ourselves focused on. The enemy wants to come in with all the stuff of the world, all the stuff of today, all the stuff. He wants to take your eyes, your thoughts off of the prize. Many of us already have the ultimate prize of glory. Hallelujah. When we get there, maybe you get a crown or two. Hallelujah. You know, show your righteousness, show your joyfulness. And so we look at that. Of rejoicing in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. No matter what you're dealing with, you've got to, and I know it's not easy. We all have pain. We all have things that we are dealing with and going through, but you've got to decide, are you going to let the pain direct where you want to be, or are you going to say, get thee behind me, pain. Get thee behind me. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being struggling. I'm tired of doing this. There's, you know, you look outside. Today is a beautiful day. You get out there and you know, the fresh air, the sensing of just the freshness and the newness and the blue sky, the breeze, just a wonderful breeze blowing through the house. My goodness. It just revitalizes you. It's just like, you know, awesome. Now that's one of the crowns there that we talked about, okay, the crown of rejoicing. The third one would be that of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is a laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Oh, 2 Timothy 4:8, the Amplified says, in the future there is reserved for me the victor's crown, it would say, of righteousness, for being right with God and doing what's right for God, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that great day, and not just to me alone, but also to all of those who have loved and longed for and welcomed his appearing. We're looking forward to his second coming. Amen. I want him to come when it's his time, and he's going to come when it's his time anyway. He's not going to listen to Tim. He's not going to listen to you. I know many times we go, what? Oh, Jesus, come! I'm tired of dealing with this stuff. Come now. Come at your timing, Lord. And until you come, give me the ability to persevere. Give me the strength. Give me the joy. Give me whatever it is. Because, Lord, I want to be found faithful. I want to be rejoicing when you come back. I want to be, that's the Lord. That's my Lord coming back for me. Amen. He said he is coming. By golly. And here I'm still alive on this earth and he's coming. Maybe I'll be seeing him when I'm called home. I don't know. But I don't know. You know and I know, if you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to see him. Amen. Amen. So that's the crown of righteousness. Paul is using the example of a Roman athletic game again, and the winners in those events would be given that wreath to show the victory. Here he is sharing with Timothy that no matter how difficult the fight seems, that we can keep fighting, the fight of faith. Keep fighting and receiving the crown of righteousness. Although Paul would not receive it here on the earth, he would be rewarded in heaven. For us today, no matter what comes against us, that being what? Discouragement, persecution, or even death. We know our reward is with that in Jesus. When we talk about the crown, I think it was, I was looking at one of my study things, and actually the crown and all that and the wording of it, it's actually comes, if you go into the depths of it, of that of Stephen. We know Stephen was martyred, you know, for his faith in Christ. And as they stoned him, forgive them for what they do. They do not know what they're doing. I mean, so Stephen is a character to look at to go, oh my gosh, if he can endure that, and if we come into a time of persecution, I hope I can be that same. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And we can do those things, and I think you can do those things when you have a real close relationship with Jesus. And when you know that the suffering that I've got here is just very temporal. Yeah, but it's 25 years. That's pretty temporal compared to eternity. Maybe persecution that you go through might be a few months, a few years. You know, that's nothing compared to eternity that you're going to spend in that with Christ. And when you go through those times of persecutions and those times of discomfort, it doesn't hurt to cry out to say, Lord, help me. Lord, give me the strength. Lord, give me the ability. Gird me up with your strength. Lord, you know, we have stories in the Bible talking about those that were martyred that even though it was a John and all putting in a cauldron of oil and all, that they didn't even burn. They were talking, they were laughing, whatever the case is. We don't understand how all of these things will happen, but we do know that through that of that spiritual world, the spiritual life, the things that happen in this other dimension that we don't have any clue about at this point, but I think we can go through these things, and if it's truly that of God and you're being persecuted, that he will somehow make you numb to that type of pain. And to be able to sit there and maybe say something to your persecutors, like, forgive them. I understand what you're doing. You just don't understand. If anything else, I pray that you find a relationship with Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, your head's gone. Oh, well, you know. And it's not something to look forward to, but it's just something to understand that what Jesus and what is being spoken of and what Paul is speaking of and what some of those disciples did, they were martyred for their faith. And we are in a time, guys, that things are getting kind of crazy in our world, you know. Christianity and the things like that, I mean, even in America, there's things being done, things being taken away from the Christian, and there are so many things out there that we don't even know what the ulterior motives are of some of the people in power that want to do away with. So we got to stand ready, we got to stand prepared, and the way to do that is to continue on this race. Be faithful with that of the things of God, and continue to call upon Him for your strength. Is it easy? No. But when I read scriptures and Jesus is telling me, and then some of his disciples are telling me the things to do, and the things that they live through, it gives me an insight to say, if they did it, it's possible. You know, if they handled it, if they worked through it, it's evidently doable. I think the things are, we just are always afraid of the unknown. I don't know how I'm going to respond. That's why none of us know how we're going to respond if that time would come to where your life would be required of you. We pray and we talk about a good story, like, oh, I'll stand there in faith and I'll stand and say forgive. I don't really know. I might be crying out and screaming. I don't know. My inner person is saying, I hope I can be found with that much fortitude of faith and trust in God that this life down here is just a fleeting moment anyway. Yeah, but you're 99 years old. That's not very long. It's very short compared to, again, eternity. It is. And then we go into the fourth crown, the crown of glory. I got to look at glory, 1756 real quick, 17. On 1 Peter, let's look at 1 Peter, and we've been in Peter a few times this past couple of weeks. Peter. 1 Peter 5:4. So we find that the fourth crown, one of the five, was... 1 Peter says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of what? Glory. And this crown does not fade away. Now, when we look at that word glory, glory is this. It's compared to that of like doxology, paradox, heterodox, orthodox, all the original and opinions, and just goes through the meanings of here again, glory as it breaks out into that of the Greek. Originally, an opinion or an estimation in which one is held. Then the word came to denote the reputation, good standing, and esteem given to a person. It progressed to this, of honor or glory given to people or to nations and even to individuals. The New Testament becomes splendor, radiance, and majesty centered upon that of Jesus. And so glory, we're going to find this glory. Amen. And when the chief priest appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. The head shepherd is Jesus. This verse is speaking to his second coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As we look at 1 Peter 5:4 in that of the Amplified, it says, and then when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. Marvin Vincent Word Studies talks about when Paul uses this term or this word translated crown, he typically has the conqueror's crown in mind, using the imagery of the winner of an athletic contest. Peter seems to have this same imagery in mind as a symbol of the heavenly reward. So we look at this as, and then when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. So these are these crowns that we're laying up. These are these crowns that we possibly are going to be availed to us, dependent upon how we respond and how our walk and where we're at in this race of things. And then we look at the final crown is that crown of life. In Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Oh, that sounds fun, huh? Do not fear. So Revelations in 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Talks about the devil, meaning the devil's slanderer, is behind the persecutions. 10 days would be symbolic of a relatively short time. And you could look at that through Daniel 1:12. But it's kind of giving you a time frame. So you're not going to be in there a long time. You're not going to suffer for eternity. 10 days, you might be thrown into that. The crown of life is the joy of life eternal given to a victor. Smyrna, where this was about in Revelations 2 and 5, talks about that of the persecuted church. And in 2:8 of Revelations 2:8, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and that you may be tested, and that you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Verse 11 finishes that out by saying, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So Smyrna was famous for athletic games being played back in those days. A crown was this again. See, this is just this thread going through this whole thing that Paul and things are sharing, and now even in Revelations, is like that of foliage of a wreath, not a wreath, but of greenery that's placed upon things. So it says, Smyrna was famous for athletic games being played. A crown was the victory wreath, the trophy for the champion at the games. So we find in this analogy is given for us that remain what? Faithful. That we will receive the prized victory. You know what that prized victory is? Eternal life. Eternal life. That's the prized victory. What more do you need? Eternal life. Amen. We will receive the prized victory, eternal life. And it jumped me to James 1:12, which we've already shared. But I'll read James 1:12 again. Blessed or happy to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. Anybody been tempted? Every day. For when he has stood the test and has been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who've loved him. That's out of James 1:12, the Amplified reading. So this message to the church at Smyrna was to remain faithful during the times of suffering. Jesus told us that difficulties will come even to those who are serving him, and our faith is proved genuine when we remain faithful to Jesus. Your faith remains faithful. Ooh. During the hard times. So that kind of looks at those crowns, okay? We had the imperishable crown. We had the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the crown of life. So that's what was talking about in that of Revelations 22:12, which we can go back and I'll just kind of end with that again. And this is headed that Jesus is testifying to the churches. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. 13, verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. I like that. And then it talks about in the warning of verse 18 through the closure. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And then it ends with 20 and 21, where what? He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And then it ends with, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We hear about that quickly. We hear that quite a bit. Quickly is compared to tacho, like a tachometer. It's like immediately, speedily, shortly, hastily. The word is especially used in the book of Revelation in relation to the imminent return of Christ. When it talks about, surely I'm coming quickly, among the very last words of the Bible is this promise from the Lord Jesus. Surely I am coming quickly. This blessed hope, which was declared by angels and spoken of by the apostles, is tenderly reiterated by the Lord at the very end of his word. It is as if he wishes to say, there is much in my word that you need attend to, but do not let this hope be overshadowed. I am coming back soon, together with John, let us say, even so, come Lord Jesus. So, you know, as we look at this whole process, we're gearing up and preparing for the second return of Christ. And we're going to be at this point in time, and where that line is at, I don't know. You know, him coming back and our line here, and we're on the scale. And where they're going to cross, I don't know. But all we wanted to look at, and don't really concern ourselves with that to a point of driving us, but yet knowing that it's there. But what drives you today and every day is your service to him here on this side of heaven. And that you get rid of your selfish what you want and do what God wants you to do. Whatever that may be, I don't know. But he has something for all of us to do. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and Lord, for your word. And Lord, there are so many promises left in the Bible for us to read and continue to meditate on. And I thank you, Lord, that you share these things through scriptures with us about these crowns, Lord, of that of the imperishable crown and that of the rejoicing crown and that of righteousness and glory. And then, Lord, that of the final of that of being of life. And Lord, I just pray that you find each of us here today in this race doing what we're to do as you've directed us. Forgive us those times that we have misstepped. Forgive us those times maybe that we didn't stay in that race. But Lord, you're a God of forgiveness and mercy. And we can repent and get right back in. And so, Father, give us the strength. Give us the ability to endure. Lord, I do pray for all of our physical needs that are represented here today. Lord, our bodies, they need strength. They need renewing. There are muscles that need to be rebuilt. There are tendons and ligaments that need to be reattached. The elasticity of the tendons and all, Lord, that needs to be the way that you designed them, Lord. Some are tight and some are loose. I don't know, Lord. But Lord, we just need a healing from you in our bodies. From the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, Lord. For we want to remain strong. We want to remain in this race. We want to bring honor and glory to you, Father God. And may you find us faithful in the things that we're doing. Go with us this day, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.